The Exodus in Type and Antitype. Chapter 2. Ancient and Modern Israel Paralleled. Type and Antitype. This language is clear and the application unmistakable. Verse 11 is the key text because it explains the reason for those which precede it. The experiences of God's people under the Exodus movement were typical of those under the Advent movement. The history of ancient Israel was recorded. For our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. After quoting the above scripture, God's servant wrote, "The experience of Israel, referred to in the above words of the apostle, and as recorded in the 105th and 106th Psalm, contain lessons of warnings that the people of God in these last days especially need to study. I urge that these chapters be read at least once every week. Not all recorded." Jesus said and did many things which the Holy Spirit did not have recorded in the four Gospels. Just so there were many things which happened to ancient Israel during their deliverance from Egypt and their journey to the Promised Land which the Holy Spirit did not have recorded in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Our text tells us that only those things were recorded which happened to them for ensamples of the experiences of the people of God, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Not all that happened was typical, but all that was written. If all that took place during those 40 years had been recorded, it would require a great library to contain it. Everything written in the scriptures regarding the Exodus movement contains lessons for us. Meaning of type. By way of example. By way of figure. But these things occurred to them typically. All this kept happening to them with a figurative meaning. Type is defined as a figure, emblem or symbol. A symbol or figure of something to come. A pattern. Figure is defined as something to prefigure, to foreshow, to represent by typical or figurative resemblance, a pattern, emblem, type, image, or imitation. A type is a literal representation of a spiritual fact. Baptism is called a figure of the resurrection, the first Adam. The figure of him who was to come, that is the second Adam. In Adam we have a type of him whose coming was still future. The earthly sanctuary and its services and priesthood are said to be a figure of the heavenly sanctuary and ministration of Christ. Never identical. Types and antitypes are never identical but only similar. In fact, there must be differences in many respects. As there must be a similarity or analogy between the type and the antitype, so there is also a diversity of dissimilitude between them. It is not in the nature of the types and antitypes that they should agree in all things. Else, instead of similitude, there would be identity. Hence the apostle, while making Adam a type of Christ, yet shows how infinitely the latter excelled the former. So the priests of old were types of Christ, though he infinitely excelled them. The same author mentioned as examples of actions typical the deliverance out of Egypt, passage of the Red Sea, sojourn in the wilderness, passage over Jordan, entrance into Canaan, and restoration from Babylon. The two movements. In the type and antitype as represented by the Exodus and Advent movements, there are of necessity many differences. In the first, a nation of people in one group was delivered and taken out of a single nation and led through a literal wilderness to the literal Canaan, while in the antitype God's people are gathered out of all the nations on earth in a great spiritual movement and are led through a spiritual wilderness to the heavenly Canaan. In paralleling these two religious movements, we must use the same reasons and good judgment as in the study of all types and antitypes, which are never identical in their details. The Lamb was a type of Christ, the Lamb of God, but they are far from being identical. Another scripture. Just as the Lord led Israel out of Egypt, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched arm, and with fury poured out, so the Lord will gather the remnant of his people out of all the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. This doubtless refers to the plagues of Egypt and the seven last plagues. We are to be brought into the wilderness of the people and pled with face to face. Like as the Lord brought ancient Israel into the wilderness and pled with them face to face, the Lord will cause modern Israel to pass under the rod or be numbered and will bring them under the bond of the new covenant. Just as the Lord purged the Exodus movement by shaking out the rebels, so he will purge modern Israel of its rebels by shaking, or spewing, them out. In those two parallel movements, the Lord does not call the faithful out in order to purify the church, but he purges or shakes out the rebels. Spirit of prophecy. The Apostle Paul plainly states that the experience of the Israelites in their travels has been recorded for the benefit of those living in this age of the world, those upon whom the ends of the world are come. We do not consider that our dangers are any less than those of the Hebrews, but greater. There will be temptations to jealousies and murmurings, and there will be outspoken rebellion, as are recorded of ancient Israel. The history of the wilderness life of Israel was chronicled for the benefit of the Israel of God to the close of time. The record of God's dealings with the wanderers of the desert in all their marchings to and fro, in their exposure to hunger, thirst, and weariness, and in the striking manifestations of His power for their relief, is fraught with warning and instruction for His people in all ages. The varied experience of the Hebrews was a school of preparation for their promised home in Canaan. God would have His people in these days review with a humble heart and teachable spirit the trials through which ancient Israel passed, that they may be instructed in preparation for the heavenly Canaan. Repeating history. I have been shown that the spirit of the world is fast leavening the church. You are following the same path as did ancient Israel. The sin of ancient Israel was in disregarding the expressed will of God and following their own way according to the leadings of unsanctified hearts. Modern Israel is fast following in their footsteps, and the displeasure of the Lord is as surely resting upon them. Satan's snares are laid for us as verily as they were laid for the children of Israel just prior to their entrance into the land of Canaan. We are repeating the history of that people. Same disobedience. The same disobedience and failure which were seen in the Jewish church have characterized in a greater degree the people who have had this great light from heaven in the last message of warning. Shall we let the history of Israel be repeated in our experience? I was pointed back to ancient Israel. But two of the adults of the vast army that left Egypt entered the land of Canaan. Their dead bodies were strewn in the wilderness because of their transgressions. Modern Israel are in greater danger of forgetting God and being led into idolatry than were His ancient people. Many idols are worshipped, even by professed Sabbath keepers. The sins and iniquities of rebellious Israel are recorded and the picture presented before us as a warning that if we imitate their example of transgressions and depart from God, we shall fall as surely as did they. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Objectionable features. We are inclined to feel that only the good features of the Exodus movement were typical of experiences in the Advent movement. But their mistakes and failures and apostasies are also recorded for our benefit. I question whether genuine rebellion is ever curable. Study in Patriarchs and Prophets the rebellion of Korah, Dathan and Abram. This rebellion was extended, including more than two men. It was led by 250 princes of the congregation, men of renown. Call rebellion by its right name, and then consider that the experience of the ancient people of God with all its objectionable features was faithfully chronicled to pass into history. The scripture declares, "These things were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come." Personal application. The history of the church in any period is a reflection of the experiences of the individual members. Church history is made by the personal experiences of the majority of its members. This series of studies on the Exodus of ancient Israel will accomplish but little good unless we apply the lessons to our individual lives. The experiences of ancient Israel are replete with warnings, reproofs, and admonitions that are invaluable to us as individuals. If we fail to make a personal application, this series will have been given in vain. Individual accountability. We will be held accountable as individuals, for sin is always an individual matter. We sometimes speak of group or national sins, but they are simply the sins of the majority of the individuals who make up the group or nation. The appeal of the Apostle Paul to those upon whom the ends of the world are come is that as individuals we profit by the mistakes of the individuals who made up the Exodus movement. Notice the constant forgetfulness, ingratitude, and failure of Israel. In tracing the progress of Israel in the wilderness, I read the history of my own heart and life. Let us endeavor to do the same during this series.